shirts say?
Milliken High School.
Ah.
42 years of coaching and teaching there. I must have at least 45,000 students all over Southern California. It's always nice when you're eating at a nice restaurant and the chef comes out and says, "Hey, coach, remember me?"
Now, just make sure you weren't mean to that kid because that food man.
They all got A's. Come on.
No, so I teach, and every now and then when I see a kid, I'll jokingly but not really ask, did I ever yell at you if they're in a restaurant? And if they say no, okay, I feel better about it. But if they say yes, I'm like, okay.
My husband always says, "What grade did you get?"
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hey, Rob. How you doing, Bob? Nice logo in the background. I think Jim's just about here, so as soon as Jim gets here, we'll be ready to go.
I'm here, if that's the Jim you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
One and only.
And
okay, Madam Clerk, are we recording?
Yes, we are.
Okay, great. I then call to order our meeting of the Groundwater Replenishment System Steering Committee. I'd like to announce that the meeting is being done teleconferencing and telephonically in accordance with the governor's executive order. If anyone would like to tune in, they can go to the Orange County Water District website and they will be able to either get on the Zoom, or they can also get on by phoning in at 669-900-9128. And our meeting ID is 913-1943-5481. At this time, we'll have, I believe we have Director Uten is here, so you can lead us in the pledge, please.
Please stand and place your hand over your heart. You know, follow me. I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Director Shaver?
Here.
Director Yeo?
Here.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Uten?
Yes.
Director Ta?
Here.
Director Gallagher?
Here.
Director Rowe? Director Silva?
Here.
Director Nguyen? Director Jones? Director Sheldon? Director Withers? You do have a quorum of your committee.
Thank you very much. At this time, we're going to have, we call it visitor participation. I call it public comment. No, so we have a request to speak, Madam Clerk.
Can you say that again? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I said, do we have any requests from the public to speak at this time?
I do not see any requests at this time.
Okay, great. Then we'll move on to our consent item, of which we only have one item. Those are the minutes from our last meeting of January 11th. Is there anything that needs to be pulled by anyone? Could I get a motion, please?
Move it.
Second.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Certainly. Director Shaver?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Uten?
Yes.
Director Ta?
Yes.
Director Gallagher?
Yes.
That motion carries with 6 yes votes.
Thank you. We'll go on to the informational items. We'll begin with the general manager, Mike Marcus, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. And the first informational item will be on the GWS operating budget summary. And I believe Mehul Patel will be presenting this item to the committee this evening.
Yes, thank you. I have a short PowerPoint presentation here on the GWS operating budget summary. Okay, can you see the screen?
Yes.
Thank you. So as part of the groundwater replenishment system joint operating agreement between the Orange County Water District and the Orange County Sanitation District, or OCSAN, there's a requirement in there that every April we do our best to present the operating budget for the groundwater replenishment system. And the genesis behind that was during the original agreement was to show that the water district's sufficiently budgeting for and planning for the reliable and ongoing operation of the groundwater replenishment system, which also allows us to take flow from OCSAN as well as operate during storm flow conditions to have additional peak outflow relief. So this is done each April to just to show how the water district plans and allows for a proper budget to allow the system to operate consistently and be there as the relief mechanism for OCSAN's plant number one, as well as for taking day-to-day flows from OCSAN. So as I mentioned, part of the joint agreement asked for us to present this information annually, and it's usually at the April steering committee meeting. The Orange County Water District has a general fund budget, and that general fund budget is used to help fund the day-to-day operations and maintenance for the groundwater replenishment system, as well as our Green Acres treatment facilities, as well as other operational departments within the district. But for the budget that we're gonna present today to show for our new fiscal year 21-22, which our fiscal year starts July 1st. This budget is in officially a draft right now, but our board will be voting on this budget along with our other budgets in an upcoming couple of weeks in April, as they do every April. And then we also have a refurbishment and replacement budget, which is a long-term funded budget that's there to take care of our assets, both in GWRS and our Green Acres project. And that's funded at about $8 million annually. And that helps us pay for long-term replacements and unforeseen replacements for both equipment and things like our microfiltration membranes, our RO membranes, and our UV process lamps. So our goal is to have a production capability of 103,000 acre feet each year. We do recognize that the current fiscal year we're in, 2021, and the fiscal year upcoming, 21-22, is definitely going to be affected by the ongoing GWRS final expansion construction project, meaning there's going to be times where GWRS production is halted so we can allow for process and electrical related tie-ins for the new equipment for the final expansion. So we've tried to account for that likely lesser production value for the upcoming fiscal year, and we budgeted accordingly. Production is also maximized as best as we can, and OCSAN helps with the operation of Steve Anderson lift station and the fact that we built in some flow equalization as part of our initial expansion in 2015 helps us to maintain a high online factor. It still has an online factor of greater than 98%, even during these construction related activities for the final expansion. And so we do our best to maximize all the available flows using flow equalization for those low flow periods and then maximizing those flows, especially during storm flow events, to help alleviate some of the discharge capacity for OCSAN in those events. So some of those issues that have allowed us to keep a somewhat stable operating cost, we do get excellent quality secondary effluent from the sanitation district through their nitrification, denitrification mode of their secondary effluent treatment. And then we also have a couple things that we do on our side, which is a robust preventative maintenance and asset management program to help maintain equipment integrity and keep it running for the long term without long-term failures or outages due to failures of equipment. We also participate in what's called a demand response program. This is a program that Southern California Edison sponsors, but is administered by a third party. In our case, it's a company called NLX. And this is a voluntary load shedding program where during times of electrical grid stress, we can be called upon for usually a 2 to 4 hour event where we'll turn our flow down from 100 MGD to about 30 MGD. and that helps alleviate some loads on the grid. We're not as essential as some of the other users on the grid. And it allows the district to collect up to $900,000 a year in that program, depending upon the amount of load shedding we're able to do. And we usually can shed somewhere around 14 megawatts of instantaneous electrical load. So it's been a good program for the water district, helps offset some of our operational costs. And then we try to focus on our chemical costs, which is next to power is probably our largest operating cost. And we try to do that by operating the main process, the reverse osmosis, at higher pH. And that allows us to use the less sulfuric acid, which is one of our more costly chemicals, as well as to try to reduce the amount of sodium hypochlorite that we use, which is also used to help inhibit fouling on that process. And then we do our best to maintain that optimum chlorine residual based upon the different qualities of water we get from the sanitation district, since we're getting waters from three different treatment processes within plant one, two activated sludge processes and one trickling filter process. So we blend those three together and try to optimize our chlorine usage on our side to reduce our costs while still providing anti-fouling that we need for both the microfiltration and reverse osmosis process. So we do also have a joint operations committee. So this is a committee that meets monthly. It's essentially myself, chief plant operator, plant number one and plant number two, as well as Jim Spears and others within the Orange County Sanitation District, where we go over issues that happen month to month or coordination on upcoming construction projects to make sure that each other's operations and each other's maintenance projects don't affect the production of each other's agencies. And so this has been a system that's been in place since the 2008, since the inception of GWRS and went online, and we continue to do this monthly. And then we both work together to optimize not only the amount of flow available, but try to get the best water available from OC San at plant number one over to GWRS, which in turn helps us lower our operating costs and provide the best quality water we can for our ultimate purpose, which is replenishing the groundwater aquifer. So one of the main things that we wanted to present today was just kind of a overview of what the current budget is. So that's our current fiscal year budget, as opposed to our recommended or what we have in our draft budget that our board will be voting on in the next couple of weeks. So you can see there the salaries and benefits essentially have gone up slightly. That's mainly for cost of living and merit increases. You see our plant facility maintenance, that's essentially gone down slightly, and that's through some cost-cutting measures to try to keep the budget as equal as possible to the prior fiscal year. Same with power and utilities. We think slightly less, mainly because we may not be able to produce the full 103,000 acre feet, probably something less due to the construction activity. And so there may be less power and other utilities consumed through the treatment process at GWRS. And then treatment chemicals, although we may be producing slightly less water depending upon the amount of construction related outages, we do have several chemicals that have gone up in cost. And I think, you know, you're seeing that across other treatment plants, including OC San, where some of these commodity chemicals just go up from time to time. And that's a function of the market rate cost for those chemicals. And so we're seeing that there. And then, as I mentioned before, we are still gonna participate in a demand response program to try to help offset some of these costs. And these costs don't include the costs specifically for GAP, because we wanted to focus on the GWRS and not our Green Acres project. And then we do also participate in some of the operating costs of the Alameda seawater intrusion barrier, but those as well are not included in these costs shown here, as those aren't directly related to the operations of GWRS. And so with that, I'd be happy to take any questions. That was a brief presentation on our operating budget for the upcoming fiscal year.
Are there any questions for Mr. Patel? Mr. Patel, I know that this is probably a silly question, but we know we always try to share our cost on chemicals with our fellow agencies. How are we doing with you on that? Is there something we can do to help you?
We have been coordinating with our purchasing department and your contracts department as well. And we do try to go in whenever we can to get the best possible pricing on common chemicals. We don't necessarily share contracts, but we do try to leverage both of our needs for chemical contracts to try to get the best price. So, and it's also been good to have each other's purchasing departments bounce pricing off each other to see if, you know, we're both getting similar or worse pricing depending upon the vendor. And we do share a lot of common vendors for some of our chemicals like sodium hypochlorite.
And then my last question was, are we predicting the quality of water that we're going to get from plant one will be as good as plant two?
We're anticipating that when the final expansion is done, the water quality from plant two will be a little worse than plant one, mainly because the TDS, the total dissolved solids, or the salt content is higher at plant number two. But we've accounted for that in our final expansion construction design, where we've modified some of our processes to allow for slightly saltier water, so to speak. But we don't think it's going to be an issue. It's not going to be significantly different from the water we receive now, but it will be slightly different combining the plant two trickling filter process with the processes from plant one.
Can we possibly work with you to help solve that problem before we get there?
Yeah, we have been working with OC San staff and our consultant as well over the years, and we continue to work together. I'm sure that we are, you know, we're both looking at the best ways to get the best possible water. But yeah, we've been working together, and we'll continue to do that.
Okay. Are there any other questions for Mr. Patel?
Director Rowe has his hand raised. Director Rowe, you're on mute.
Sorry. Nicole, what is the difference in TDS between plant one and plant two that you anticipate?
So the plant one TDS is around 1,000 milligrams per liter, and the plant two TDS can be around 1,900 milligrams per liter. But what we're anticipating is when we blend the two flows together, because plant two's flow is only going to be a small portion of the total flow, that our TDS will go up to around 1,400 milligrams per liter from around 1,000. And so that's what we're trying to account for in some of the design features we've added as part of the current final expansion construction.
Mahul, I'm really surprised that it's that high a difference, 900 TDS. What is accounting for that?
A lot of that is some seawater intrusion, some shallow seawater intrusion into collection system. And Sand District's done a lot of extensive work. And so we're looking at ways that we can possibly improve upon that. But there's just some portions of the collection system that we can't stop that from happening and affecting the overall TDS to plant too. We are, as we said before, isolating the sari flows, and that will also help because that water also has a high TDS content. But part of our headwork segregation will ensure that we don't get those flows and get the best possible flow we can from plant two.
Well, I would encourage staff, if you could, to try to identify where these high salt contents are coming from, and if we can eliminate them, good. Thank you.
Mihul, do you want me to go into more detail?
Sure. Thanks, Jim. Yes.
Yeah, it's a problem that's not really easy for us to remedy. The ways that the water's coming in is not in the OC sand sewer system. It's in the private laterals predominantly of the properties that are connected to the city sewers that connect to OC sand, tens of thousands of private laterals. And we actually tried to trace back the elevated TDS to pump stations that serve the coastal areas. And we did find a few, some areas where the pump stations seem to be a little bit higher, but we didn't find what I would call a smoking gun or something that you could go out and fix readily. And then that was the first approach that Sandy and Mike and Mahul wanted us to do, is try to find that TDS and keep it out. And it was something that was so ubiquitous and spread out that there wasn't a really easy way to do it. So primarily, as Mahul mentioned, keeping the sari line out is really, really important, because that brings up the TDS at plant two quite a bit. But that issue of higher TDS at plant two versus plant one has been there, you know, as long as I can remember. Director Uten might remember it. It was an issue back as far back as the early 1980s.
Yeah.
Director Yeo has his hand raised.
Great.
Thank you. I'll unmute myself. Thank you, Christina. So my question is for Mayhol, is that since we know about this for some time now, the higher TDS, and my question is, would this significantly affect the treatment costs, like the amount of energy it takes to remove the TDS?
Yeah, there will be some form of higher energy costs to deal with the TDS, but we're also trying to, with the final expansion, design in some things to help curtail that as best we can, like interstage booster pumps and upsizing some of the motors on the existing energy recovery devices. But we've accounted for both those costs and possibly some increased chemical costs for pH buffering with the higher TDS water into all of the costing that we've presented prior on the unit costs for the final expansion. So even with those areas that may be higher, we're still going to be right where we said we'd be, and the cost will still be competitive with what we're producing now.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Director Rowe has his hand raised.
And thinking along these lines, would the plant two source water be isolated from the plant one water? That would require different treatment because of higher TDS, or it's all going to be blended together?
Yeah, it's going to all be blended together. We did look at that during design and when we did our feasibility study prior to the design, and there just wasn't a feasible way to bring plant two water into a separate treatment train just because of space and infrastructure issues. And then the cost would have been even more astronomical to try to have a separate treatment train. So kind of all collectively decided that blending the water together as one stream, that would be the only way we could really get it here quickly and into GWRS, and that we can deal with the changes in water quality through our modifications of some of our treatment steps, that was still gonna be the best way and most feasible to get this project off the ground and account for segregation of the SARI as well.
Okay.
Any other questions out of directors? Okay, Mr. Patel, thank you very much for that presentation. I was wondering if possibly for us directors, if we could get a copy of that slide presentation. Maybe sure. Christine can send it out to everyone. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I will move on to item number three. This is the GWRS operating update.
And this will be presented by Mr. Patel again.
Yes, for this one, I'll have a brief verbal update. So for the last quarter since our last meeting, which encompassed January, February, March, our total production for this fiscal year, so from July 1st to the present time of this meeting, was 74,240 acre foot as of the end of March. That's about 3,053 acre feet below our target of 77,323 acre feet. And you'll see in the packet the cumulative average flow graph and production graph there that displays those values. Some reasons for that, again, the ongoing GWRS final expansion construction. We did have a almost 2-day outage just in this last 3-month period encapsulated in the staff report for commissioning our new UV trains. So we did have to take the plant offline, commission those new UV trains, run the flow to waste for a while to get those UV trains dialed in, and then accept them into the main treatment plant. So that was part of it. We did also have our ongoing R&R project to replace microfiltration membranes that have reached the end of their life. So we replaced 3,420 microfiltration membranes in this 3-month period encapsulated in the staff report. So that also bites into production a little bit for that effort. We did still average around 90 MGD. Part of that is flow we get from Sand District, and then taking into account all these different construction activities. So we knew that we would be a little bit under the cumulative average that we want to be, but we're doing our best to kind of keep it at bay or catch up as best we can. But we do foresee a few more outages before the end of this fiscal year that are planned as part of the final expansion construction. And with that, I can... take any questions.
I might add on to that, Mehul, also, is that there were a few construction projects on OC Sand's part also that limited the flow into Plant 1. So there's some major trunk line work that's being done, I think, on State College. And that also contributed to the lower flows.
Mr. Patel, this is Dave Schauer. I had a quick question. What are we doing to try to reduce our energy costs? I noticed that we had a slight, small, I think a tenth of a reduction. Is there something that you have it that we can help you with or work with you with, or is it some suggestions?
No, I mean, we have talked back and forth, our staff and OC SAM staff on different power rates and structures. On our side, we are still trying to optimize the reverse osmosis treatment process, which is where the majority of our electrical costs come from, is operating that process. So we're continually trying. We just installed membranes in three of our 21 trains, and we're going to install three more in the next fiscal year. And we think that'll also help, as the membranes age, just get to replacing them sooner, and that helps reduce some of our operating costs. But I think we're doing all we can to keep it. We do get a very good power rate by being in direct access energy procurement power. That's helped us a lot too. I think where we are now is about as optimum as we can be, but we're still looking at things like the pre-treatment to the reverse osmosis and our ongoing power rates that we're negotiating for a renewal coming up here in July. I think those are kind of things we're trying to do to keep power costs at bay, or at least as low as we can. We are in a real uncertain time when it comes to power utility in general, that the market's pretty unstable and is probably going to be higher in the upcoming year. And in years, maybe 2022, 23, 24, it should start to go down. But a lot of the issues that occurred this year, including the issues in Texas and the emergency grid last summer, have really caused a lot of volatility in the power market. And it's something that we're continuing to look at.
And just as a follow-up on what Mehul was talking about, the direct access, we do have a contract with the power provider that locks in the price for up to 5 years. So that has been very beneficial. The overall cost of power is about, 9.5 cents a kilowatt hour, I think, which is very competitive for purchasing power off the grid. So that direct access has really helped us reduce our energy costs, the cost of energy. And we'll continue with that program, obviously moving forward into the future.
And Mike, you know, the water districts actually helped OC San. Mehul kind of walked us through the process of entering the lottery for direct access for OCSD, for OC San. We purchase about a third of the power that we use. We generate 2/3. We actually, we're unsuccessful in the lottery, but we'll continue to try if we think that's something that'll benefit us to reduce our costs as well.
Jim, do we use all our power? We don't sell any, do we?
No, we use all of our power. We generate about 2/3 of what we need, and the other third we buy from the grid.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, because our battery backup, with that energy, or that electrical is pretty cheap, isn't it, compared to the 9 cents?
That's operated by the I can't remember the name of the company, but it's operated by the vendor that we partnered with, and that turns on and off based on the need of the grid. That's not something that we control, and we do have a savings every year in our power cost because of that. But it doesn't necessarily make any more total power available. It just shifts some of our load. It allows us to go off the grid for a period of time, but it doesn't necessarily make power available for OCWD.
Right, I understand that. I was just wondering if there was anything we could do to help supply some energy at a lower rate to our neighbors. But I know that we only produce, 60-some%, so, okay. Any other questions?
Director Yeo has his hand raised.
Okay.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mayhol, the 103,000 acre fee is assuming that the plant is operating at 100% uptime, right?
The 103,000 assumes normal production and a normal amount of, 99% online factor. There is some accounting for outages that we always have for preventative maintenance in there.
Right, and when we designed it, we had assumed that the uptime is somewhere around 94%. That's something that we had shared.
Right.
Okay, so that's what I recall. Yeah. So even with the interruptions and outages, and a reduced production rate of 3,053 acre feet, we're still at 96%. That's actually pretty good. So if we continue, we are actually doing better than what we had anticipated. So I appreciate, all the hard work that you put in. Yeah. So just want to make note of that. Thank you.
Yeah, just as a bit of history, Director Yeo, and you may recall this, in the original project, we actually had a downtime of about 3 weeks built into the schedule as far as when the plant wouldn't be operating during the winter time when some of our recharge basins may have been filled. Since then, of course, we've acquired the properties at La Palma and Mira Loma Basin, which allows us to utilize the plant year round or be able to utilize the flow year round. So that has helped also us be able to operate at the high efficiency. But you're absolutely right. If you took 100 MGD and multiplied it by 365 days, it would be greater than 103,000 acre foot. It'd be about, 130,000 acre feet, I think. So we take that into consideration when we set that target of 103,000 acre feet a year.
Thank you.
Anybody else, Christina?
I do not see anyone else.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Patel. We'll move on to item number four. This is an update on the GWRS final expansion project.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We won't have to listen to Mr. Patel again on this presentation. Instead, we're gonna give Sandy Scott Roberts an opportunity to update the committee on the final expansion. Sandy.
Thank you. All right, can everybody see my slide? Mm-hmm. All right. So I'll give a brief update on the final expansion project as well as some of the construction metrics for all the construction contracts we have as part of the GWRS final expansion project. So quick overview, our OCWD facility, our GWRS facility currently receives all our influent from OC Sand plant number one for GWRS. And as part of the final expansion, which was an expansion of 30 MGD of additional treatment capacity, we need more water. And we are getting that water from OC Sand plant number two, Huntington Beach. And so as part of the whole GWRS final expansion program, we're going to be expanding our current facility for the 30 MGD of additional treatment, as well as rehabilitating an existing 66-inch RCP pipeline, an OC sand pipeline. And then we are also going to be constructing conveyance facilities at plant two, a pump station and flow EQ tanks, as well as segregating the headworks modification project, which Mayhol already referenced. That's the sorry flows that we're actually segregating out of the effluent that OCWD and GWRS will get. So here's an overview of all, some pictures of the construction activities to date on all these various components. So here we have the OCWD site over here on the left and all the areas where construction is actively occurring. Our microfiltration facility being expanded, a new basement's being constructed, our reverse osmosis facility, new equipment being installed, our UV facility as well, new equipment being installed. And then on OC Sands Plant 1 site, we have our pipeline coming in that's going to be feeding the water from Plant 2 to our existing screening facility. So here's an overview of the MF microfiltration construction that is ongoing. We're looking north. Here's the administration building. So this is a picture of where the MF West basement is. Construction activities are occurring. We're also enlarging our electrical building, as well as constructing a new sodium hypochlorite storage area. And so here's some recent pictures from these construction activities. So here's a picture of the MF basement construction in December of 2020. You can see here the shoring has been in place and the whole facility was excavated, and we've got rebar awaiting for concrete. And then here you can see in March of 2021, the bottom slab has already been poured for the MF basement, and they're beginning to put up the forms for the walls of the new microfilter cells. I have another photo here, overview aerial drone shot, and this is showing the cells being constructed. So four cells are going to be installed here as part of the microfiltration train E, and then an entirely new microfiltration train F is going to be constructed right here. And these are the walls that make up that train. And that would bring the total treatment capacity of the MF up to be able to produce 30 MGD of additional product water. Here's some of the piping that is going to be installed within the microfiltration basement area, some of it in the existing area, some of it in the new MF basement that Shimmick Construction Company is doing the construction work for. This is an overview picture of our sodium hypochlorite storage area. We are going to be, this is a new chemical storage for our microfiltration facility, because we are actually installing a new type of membrane, microfilter membrane. It's part of the final expansion to be able to handle the water from plant tube better. And so this is another part of the final expansion that we're implementing in order to be able to treat that water from plant tube. This is a picture of our surge tanks being commissioned. We had to finish up all our, slabs that were ready for five full surge tanks because of this additional treatment capacity. And so this is a picture of the new surge tank as it was being commissioned. And then for the reverse osmosis and ultraviolet light, those treatment processes you can see here on the left. Shimmick Construction Company is the contractor for this whole plant one site and GWS treatment process expansion site. And so you can see here, they're starting to install the RO piping in the basement, moving forward on that. And they've actually already completed installation of the three new UV units that were installed for the additional capacity. And here's a picture of one of the completed units. So also on the south side, where I had mentioned for the pipeline that's coming into OC Sand Plant 1 and up to our screenings facility, this is an area that has recently seen a lot of construction activities. This is Garfield Avenue, and here's the Santa Ana River. And what's happening here is we have the existing effluent junction box owned by OC Sand that needs to be visited, maintained by OC Sand staff, upgraded or worked on. Then we've got over here in this blue outline, we've got the construction laydown area for a pipeline rehabilitation contractor, and that is JF Shea. And so they've got this area here. Here's the pipe that they're starting to store in order to slip line the existing 66 inch pipe, in which an access pit has been cut open right here. And the pipeline continues down to plant two. And so this entire stretch will be slip lined. And then the remaining area here is Shimmick Construction Company as part of the Advanced Water Treatment Facility contract, constructing the pipeline from JF Shea's rehabilitated pipeline through the nursery facility here across Garfield into OC Sand Plant 1 all the way up to the Springs facility, like I had shown earlier. So you can see here, it's a very busy site and there's a lot going on. If you want to take a quick look at what's going on, there's a lot going on right here, right now. So here's a picture that I took at the nursery looking north. This is Shimmick installing the pipeline. It's going to be bringing the new pipelines, going to be bringing the plant to water to GWS, the secondary effluent. And that kind of completes what we have going on at the OC Sand Plant 1 and our GWS facility. And so if you're taking a look at what's happening at OC Sand Plant number 2, where the GWS facilities are being constructed is right here on this north triangular portion of plant 2. And this is where we're building our flow equalization tanks and our pump station. And then the headworks modification project that's being managed by OC Sand staff is the construction activities are happening right here at the headworks facility. I'm going to show a few pictures of that as well. So here's an overview of what the site looked like just when we started to begin the construction. But I kind of put some overview facilities on this aerial. I've got the approximate alignment of the existing 66-inch RCP pipe right here. We have the proposed locations of the two flow equalization tanks shown in blue right on the northern end there. And then the pump station location is approximately located just south of that. And then there's an effluent pipeline from that pump station that connects into the access pit that JF Shea is constructing. And then they are slip lining the remainder of the existing pipeline with a new pipe. So they're putting a pipe in a pipe all the way up to that location that I showed on the slide when I was showing the Garfield Santa Ana River area. So that's the JF Shea scope as compared with the Shimmick scope. Here's some pictures to show a comparison of the work that's been done since the last update to the steering committee. So December 2020, we had the full tank pad, northern tank pad poured, and just some of the forms, or at least one form, up for one portion of the wall. And here in February of 2021, you can see the entire tank pad for the northern tank was poured, and the walls almost complete. And then the second one, we've got almost the entire pad complete. And then there's the pump station being excavated. And then here's an even more recent shot showing the entire northern, this was 2 weeks ago, the northern tank almost complete other than the roof, the southern tank slab fully complete, the walls starting to be poured, and there's the pump station excavated. And you can see in this picture as well, the access pit opened by JF Shea over the 66-inch pipeline. It is right here, and you can kind of see the pipe sticking out there. That's going to be the access pit, the southernmost access pit. All the new pipes are going to be slipped into that existing pipe for the slip lining activities. Here's a close-up of the columns and scaffolding and forms that were put up for the columns that hold the roof of the flow EQ tanks, and also scaffolding for holding the forms on the roof that was poured on the northern tank. And that kind of concludes the northern area, the Shimmick construction contract. And so now I'll show you a few photos from JF Shea's construction contract. They're the ones that are rehabilitating the pipeline, and their contract is the secondary effluent pipe rehab project. And so here's a picture of a JF Shea excavator with lifting one of their pipes to be put into their access pit in order to slip line the existing pipe. And this here is just an overview slide, just to kind of give everybody an orientation. This is Garfield Avenue here in the Santa Ana River up at the north, and this is that first access pit. And then when I was showing pictures at plant 2, this is the southernmost access pit. And then these additional access pits are going to be opened by J.F. Shea in order to completely slip line this entire stretch of the pipeline. Now, J.F. Shea has already completed the slip lining between pits D and E, because that was lined with steel pipe. The remaining of the pipeline will be lined with fiberglass reinforced polymer pipe, or FRP pipe. And that is the pipe that still needs to be installed. So here's another picture of one of the access pits. This was a action shot, I guess, of the existing pipe being saw cut open. Here you can see where it was saw cut, and you can see the new pipe being placed in the existing pipe, and then it was pushed down, and they keep lining up their pipes that way as part of this project. Now, for the fiberglass reinforced polymer pipe, the polymer pipe is fabricated overseas. And unfortunately, due to COVID, there has been some delays in the transport of this FRP pipe. So at the moment, J.F. Shea has been getting these shipments from the cargo containers as they come into the port, and the holdup is really at the ports. And as they come in and they're storing up this FRP pipe so that they can really get going once they have sufficient pipe stored on their sites and then slip line an entire reach in one shot. So here's a picture of one of the containers and J.F. Shea unloading one of the FRP pipes. And here's a picture of them staging their FRP pipe at one of the access pits. And OC San is managing the headworks modification project that just coincidentally is being constructed also by Shimmick Construction Company. And here's some pictures of that work. Here's the headworks diversion channel. This is the channel that will be taking the reclaimable effluent around into its own treatment train in order to not mix with the non-reclaimable flows. That's the construction activity ongoing at the headworks so far. And then here's a picture of one of the sewer pumps being taken out at the headworks facility as part of the segregation of the headworks. OC San is removing one of their larger pipes, actually two of their larger pipes, and downsizing the pipe, the pump, in order to be able to handle the lower flows on either side of the headworks without too much pump disruption. And so now I'll just go through the metrics for each of these contracts, some of the construction metrics. So the largest contract is the GWS final expansion project. With our contractor, Shimmick Construction Company, its original contract amount was just under $200 million. And our change orders to date were still in the credit of about $5 million. And that's due to some cost savings on our microfilter membranes, which we actually bid out after the project had been bid. And so we realized some substantial savings from that. So our revised contract amount is at about $195 million. And we've expended approximately $100 million to date. And this table was updated in March, at the end of March of this year. And we're slated to be complete in February 24th of 2023. The next contract is the pipeline rehabilitation construction contract, and that has been awarded to J.F. Shea. That original contract amount was $11.6 million. There's been one change order approved to date. The change order was for some additional concrete encasement that was unforeseen, and some additional enclosures that needed to be constructed for our valves, air vacs. And so with that, revised amount is closer to $11.7 million with $4.5 million expended to date. And this project is, we've granted 44 days of additional non-compensable days to the contract due to the pipe delivery delays, which I discussed on the earlier for the FRP pipe and its delivery into the ports. And so this completion date is now July 17, 2021. However, it's still within the overall construction schedule of the GWS final expansion project, which I'm going to show on one of the last slides. And the OC San managed contract, the headworks modification contract, or P2-122. The original contract amount was about $14.5 million. There's been a few change orders to date, making now the revised contract amount $14.525 million. They've expended $4.5 million to date, and this project is scheduled to be complete March 8th of 2023, with no time extensions allowed. This is the overview, GWS final expansion contract with Shimmick Construction Company for the $200 million contract. I'm showing these for the largest contract only. It's the predicted construction expenditures submitted by Shimmick at the beginning of the project versus the actual cumulative expenditures. So you can see here, these were the predicted monthly expenditures, and then these are our actuals, and we're kind of just hitting up below it. In discussions with our construction management team and Shimmick themselves, they had slightly overestimated their predicted monthly expenditures in an effort to ensure that agencies have the ability to fund invoices as they come up. And so this is what I think we're kind of seeing with this slight discrepancy here. And then I also have been requested to show the, for each of these contracts, the percent complete expenditures compared to the total project cost, and even the revised project cost with change orders included, compared to the percent completed over the calendar year's its duration. So for the advanced water treatment facility expansion, the pump station at plant two, the flow EQ tanks at plant two, all being constructed under the Shimmick contract. We are currently as of March 31st, we are 53% complete on expenditures and 43% complete for duration. And for the pipe rehabilitation project, we are 39% complete on expenditures and 63% complete on duration. And that does, you can kind of see that does have to do with the delays that we have been seeing in the FRP pipe delivery. And OC San's headworks modification project is 31% complete by expenditures and 35% complete by duration. So all of these construction contracts are all captured in this GWS final expansion project budget. The approved budget for this program is $310 million. However, because of some of the savings that we've realized for various reasons, we're actually projecting a slightly less project budget. We had some savings realized in the treatment facility construction work for the MF being microfilters being competitively bid, like I mentioned. We also had a lower than anticipated bid for the pipe slip lining project. And then we also lowered the contingency accordingly with the lower construction costs. And then we also had OC San also had a lower than expected bid on the their headworks modification project. And just to clarify this last line item, this is not just for the headworks modification project. There's a couple other construction activities that are ongoing as part of the entire final expansion project budget. And so that's what makes up this total $48 million. And here's an overview slide of the schedules as of March 2021. So here you can see the GWS final expansion AWTF project with its completion date in February, end of February, You can see here how the pipeline project, even though it has been delayed 44 days, it is still within the 3-year duration of the larger project. And so it has not put the schedule of this final program, it has not affected it at all. And the OC San Headworks Modification Project, you can see here, that's our longest finish completion time, March 8th, 2023. So this is being our critical path here. And that one is March 8th of 2023. And so that is also not affected by the pipeline project delays. And with that, I am happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Chair, I just want to make a comment, if I may. Yeah, so Sandy, thank you very much for the presentation and for anticipating my questions and answering questions. Thank you very much. Yeah. So even though we are behind on the actual work performed for the pipeline rehab, you're confident that they're going to finish, as they stated, around July timeframe. And it's going to be, you know, it's not on the critical path, right? It won't affect.
That's right. That's right. It's not on the critical path. Our critical component for that work is just that they have the ends at that pit A and that pit K installed and ready for Shimmick, for Shimmick's contract to tie onto. And so we're confident that those two end pieces will be in place for Shimmick to tie onto in order to install their effluent piping from the pump station at plant 2 and the secondary effluent piping to our screenings facility at plant 1. So those are the two important components that we're tracking as part of that project.
Thank you. Just out of curiosity, how many pieces of the pipe is needed? How many trucks would it take the FRP?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, gosh, we just talked about that number. I want to say it was on the order of 800 pieces of pipe. And there's one pipe piece in each container. So it's quite a large number.
Over 4 miles. Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Director Gallagher has his hand raised.
Yes.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Director Gallagher.
Great job. I was very impressed at how you make such a complex project so easy to follow along on the progress. And I was really, a couple of questions. I was impressed that, you know, given the size and complexity of these projects, having multiple contractors and having gone through COVID, that the change orders weren't more significant. They actually seem very low. And I'm just wondering, are we keeping a PCO, like a potential change order log where maybe there's more that we're negotiating or could be hitting later on?
Yes, we are. We have a potential change order log that we keep track of. Credits as well as potential change orders coming up. We discuss those weekly, actually, and we're tracking them. We did have initially a notice from both of our contractors on because of COVID delays, some unexpected expenses, but we've seen really nothing more than some delay days granted, but they're non-compensable delay days granted. And that's really all we've had to give into due to COVID on any of these contracts yet to date.
And so that gets through the project. I mean, they have a window that they have to ask for that money, right? At some point, they can't come at the end and ask for COVID-related changes, can they?
That's right. Yeah, no, they, you cannot. It has to be requested a certain amount of days after it occurred, for sure. I want to say it's 40, but I'd have to check on that.
Okay, good. And then just had a question too. I was trying to understand, it looked like the main driver was going to be the OC headworks. That was the project that ended last based on the schedule. But I was trying to understand how, don't you need that, some function of that project to be running so that you can get the water to actually run the commissioning and testing of your, of the new expansion? Can you explain that part?
Yes. Yes, that's right. So that's why it is our critical path project. We need that headworks fully segregated in order to be receiving, I guess, spec water for GWRS. And we can test out all Shimmick's construction contracts if needed. We could test it all out without physically sending plant 2 water to GWRS. We could test out the pump station, the pipeline, all the other components if needed. However, the way things are tracking right now, we don't think we're going to need to have to do that. And so the Headworks project is fitting in nicely with Shimmick's construction schedule. So,
okay. One last question. I saw a lot of the costs went down between the budget and the projected, but I noticed the construction inspection went from 1.5 to 1.9. I'm just curious what was the driver for that one?
Yeah, so there was a couple of additional construction inspection, services that were unanticipated in the original budget. There were some, in particular, there's a OC San high pressure digester gas line in the vicinity, and a special inspector was not foreseen to be needed for that. So there was some costs involved for that. As well as these are as part of our EIR, all disturbed dirt needs to be monitored by archaeologists and native tribe that has some sort of jurisdiction in the area. And so those costs were also, at least the fact that all disturbed soil needed to be monitored in this fashion was not planned for in the original budget. And so those are the additional costs that were added as part of that construction inspection.
Thank you, Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
Great responses.
Thanks.
Director Rowe?
Hey, Sandy. Yes. Could you go back to the expended versus estimated plan?
Oh, sure.
Integrated schedule and budget management worksheet is what my old boss used to say.
Okay.
this shows that you're under budget and behind schedule. It's the differential between the progress that you plan and what you have right now. I was also asked when I was doing this sort of analysis, is what was my estimate as the progress of the project. Was that proportional to what you see as being expended or what you estimated? You know, are we going to be behind schedule? And we're always going to be under budget because you've got a break on the budget with some things in the course of contracting.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes. I think Director Yeo may have recalled this question had been asked before, and I had spoken with our construction manager Butier, who could probably answer this type of question way better than I could with these construction metrics and with our contractor as well. We went over this curve, and the underlying, I guess, overview picture is that Shimmick Construction Company, they say that it's their standard procedures when providing these type of predicted monthly expenditures that they always overestimate them in order to assure that the owners have the sufficient funds to pay their invoices. And so I'm not quite sure what this metric means. However, I was attributing it to Shimmick's predicted monthly expenditures, which we received from them at the beginning of the project, as that being slightly high. Right now, everything that we point to in our CM firm Butier is reviewing monthly updates provided by Shimmick of their construction schedule, shows that we are not behind on construction work, and we're slated to be done with all major construction work in of May of 2022. So that leaves us those last remaining months there for internal equipping of equipment, startup activities, commissioning, so that we truly will be online in March of 2023.
Okay, so you think we're on a good schedule, what we planned?
Yes, I do.
When the plan comes together.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you. All right. No other questions? Thank you. I don't hear anything. Oh.
Director Shaver, I think you're muted.
Okay, I'm unmuted, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, Sandy, thank you very much for the presentation. As always, well presented, and thank you for all your hard work.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to our final item of the evening. Item number 5, GWRS first quarter outreach report, January to March of 2021.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. And I believe Gina Ayala will be giving a report on this to the committee this evening. Gina.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you, Chair Shaver. I just wanted to give a brief verbal update this evening regarding the first quarter public affairs outreach report for the GWRS. OCWD does continue a really robust tour and speakers bureau program. So this past quarter, we accommodated about 450 students, and we are actively continuing to schedule through the remainder of 2021. So we are still hosting right now virtual tours. We have the public tour, we do have customized school and organization tours, and then we're still continuing to host joint tours with OC San. So the tour program has been highly successful, and the videos have been viewed more than 3,600 times, and those videos would be the 30-minute technical tour video as well as the 10-minute general tour video. So staff is going to continue to work on and accommodate these virtual programs while also planning for somewhat of a hybrid mode to accommodate in-person tours once we resume that again. Speakers Bureau as well, those programs have been highly successful, as have OCWD's virtual webinar series. So when possible, we definitely include highlights of the GWRS program or dedicate webinars to them. I know Sandy did give a webinar regarding the GWRS final expansion. So we will plan a couple in 2022. And we have found that our technical webinars are very well received and are getting high numbers, between 150 to 200 participants. And in addition, we have continued to update the GWRS final expansion part of the website, including photos and time-lapse videos. And then staff is going to be working with Sandy and the construction crew to go out and once they really get heavily involved in doing the pipeline, we're going to put together a short video, and that way at the next GWRS steering committee, we'll be able to share that with the members. And that concludes my outreach report for this evening. There's any questions, I'd be happy to respond.
Do we have any questions for Gina? Okay, thank you, Gina, for that report and update. I will now move on to director's announcements or reports. Okay, hearing none.
Excuse me, Director Shaver.
Oh, go ahead.
This is Kelly Rowe. I have a very serious question here. Why did OCSD change to OC Sand?
Oh, that's a really easy, I can answer that. I know. Because we're getting tired of being called the Orange County Sheriff's Department.
Or school district.
Same thing. You got it. We now have our own identity. It's been well received. You know, Jennifer Cabral's done an excellent job with her team getting the word out, and our contributions have increased tenfold. any other director's questions? Okay, thank you. Before we adjourn this evening, we have any general manager's reports at this time. Mike, you're first.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just like to highlight a couple things that were commented on. First, I'd like to acknowledge, as has been acknowledged previously, the great work that both staffs have been doing on this project, the close coordination. They are very complex projects. There's a tremendous amount of coordination. You heard Mehul say that the staffs operationally are meeting on a weekly basis. Everything is really going quite well. COVID has not really affected us, and we're very fortunate in that respect. The construction has maintained itself throughout the past year. There really have been no delays other than the one Sandy talked about at the pipe procurement. But as far as the actual construction on site at Plant 1 and Plant 2, that has all moved along extremely well. And just to reiterate, we're very, very confident that the schedule, that right now, the contractors are on schedule. There is a very complicated critical path method CPM schedule that's put together. And I think right now they're actually showing 4 days of float, which means they can burn 4 days and still remain on schedule. So it's tight, but the CM crew has been doing a great job in keeping the contractor in line. The change orders, we're very confident that we'll be able to fall within budget, hopefully under budget. I keep on harping on Sandy. She knows that, and she does a great job on harping on the contractor. Right now it's a very positive outlook. We're about 50% complete with the project, and I would certainly invite any directors. I've invited my board. If you'd like to stop by, we can, follow COVID protocols and at least be able to give any directors that are interested a glance of the construction that's going on. We can get you up close and personal. So if any of you would like to take us up on that opportunity, feel free to contact myself or General Manager Herberg, and I'm sure we can arrange that for any directors that might be interested. Thank you very much.
Jim, you're up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe this is the first meeting where we have had all of our directors appointed. And I don't know if you wanted me to take a moment and introduce our new directors or
to the... No, I was going to actually have them do that after you're done.
Okay. That was all I had, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Oh, great. Okay. You know, I'm really pleased. And I'm sure we all are with the quality of our board members, our directors that we have. We have an exceptional staff. I think we also have an exceptional group of directors. So I'm going to call off your name. And if you just tell us a little bit about yourself, we have a lot of new people and we have a lot of older people. So I think it'll be kind of good. So we'll start with Director Eaton.
Oh, thank you, Director Chair Shaver. You know, my background is... I worked at Orange County Sand District from 1981 to 2000, retired in 2005. And I was fortunate enough to help do the feasibility study for the groundwater replenishment system. So, and I was there, helped get secure some of the, or select some of the early consultants, both design and construction. Well, not construction, that was bid. So I'm pretty familiar with Cedar Rios project. It is a massive project, you know, world renowned. And I was elected to the Costa Mesa Sanitary District in 2006. I've been reelected ever since then. I served as an alternate director to Orange County Sand District for all that time. And when Director Ferryman was not a director at Orange County Sand District, you know, I became the director at Orange County Sand. know, I sometimes I'm probably going to call it CSDOC, and then Orange County Sand District, and now Orange County Sand. I'm really happy to be on this committee. I'm looking forward, you know, to seeing it. I had one little question with the completion of the sewer project downstate college. Are there some diversions there that's going to bring a little more flow to plant number one that can be used for GWRS?
Yes, Director, that is correct. We will be bringing more flow in once the pipeline is commissioned and all the construction is complete. And Sandy, is it 8 MGD?
Yes, exactly. 8 MGD is what's projected.
Yep. During construction, we've been a bit short at times because of the diversions and things, but the net will be 8 MGD more.
Yep.
Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this committee.
Director Whitaker, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I have had experience in numerous areas over the years, too many years to count at this point. But I've worked at the County of Orange as a policy advisor to the Board of Supervisors. I've been a district director for state assembly member, worked for the state of California. This is now my third time with OCWD, and I'm also serving this year a third time as mayor of the city of Fullerton. I was pleased to be reinstated as a commissioner at SAPA, and also I'm happy to be the convener of the OWOW Steering Committee as well currently. So I just love listening in to meetings like this one, where I can benefit so much from the knowledge of people who have been in the water world much longer than I have. But thank you very much for that.
Director Rowe?
Thank you. I have 40 years experience as a hydrogeology consultant throughout Southern California and the United States, been overseas. I worked for the Orange County Water District 25 years ago to repair the seawater intrusion barrier injection wells, Talbot barrier wells, along Ellis Avenue. And I spent $2 million of the district's money, fixed them. And then I got myself elected as a board for a couple of years there to make sure that there were additional wells to be put in for protecting seawater intrusion. I went off and did work for FEMA, USAID, came back, and now I'm on the board to try to see through GWRS. I was on the board that approved the EIR, EIS for GWRS, and I'm happy to see it moving forward still. We're almost there, 20 years later.
Thank you. Director Green?
Yes, I'm Kathy Green. I've been on the Orange County Water District since I was elected in 2010 after serving two terms as city council and mayor of Huntington Beach. Thank you. And know many of you.
Thank you, Kathy. Director Gallagher.
Hi. I just got elected city of Tustin in November. I see Sandy, one of our finest Tustin residents. I've spent my entire career, 15 years in water and wastewater. I work for a consultant company called MKN here in Orange County. I'm also president of Orange County Water Association, where I work with Sandy. So I get the pleasure of that. And I've seen Mehul speak at more conferences than I choose to count. So definitely a lot of experience with OC San and OCWD, and so happy to be part of this board and GWR steering committee. It's truly my passion, my life's work. And as I was actually just telling someone today, I truly believe OC San, and I'm going to throw OCWD in there too, since you guys are on the call, but some of the best organizations in this industry. I've worked all throughout Southern California, and the size and the scope that what gets taken on and how efficiently it's done is just mind blowing. So congrats to the staff and to all the elected here that are part of that.
Thank you, Director Toth.
Hello, everyone. I was appointed to serve on OCWD in 2018 and was elected last November. And I've been on Westminster City Council for 15 years, the first 6 years as council member and the last 8 years as mayor. And I'm really happy to serve on this committee.
Thank you. Director Silva.
Hi there. Well, thank you. Yeah, Jesus Silva, and I'm on the Orange County Sanitation District, and have been appointed here as an alternate. So thank you. And I'm going to echo Director Gallagher's comments that having been to various regional meetings and sessions and so forth, the one thing we always hear when it's OC San and the Orange County Water Department come up is how well they're run, how efficient they are, and how they just get it done in an efficient and fiscally sound manner. So congratulations to all you guys that have been around here longer than I have and got these two districts going. And I also just want to thank the water district there for putting the first treatment plant for PFAS up in Fullerton. We were there watching it being installed. So I know that's the first step to solving, or one of the first steps to solving our PFAS problem. So thank you all. And I've really enjoyed learning about water and about the sanitation. Everything has to keep flowing. So thank you to all you that have allowed this to happen.
Director Yeo.
Thank you, Chair Shelburne. Well, hello. I have been serving on this committee since 2004. I was elected to OCWD board in 2004. I probably have been on the committee the longest, but certainly not the most knowledgeable, after hearing your background. Background is I work for Caltrans, and I've been working for the state for 30 years. My background is in bridge engineering, and I work a number of years in construction and project management. Now I serve as the district's asset manager. My job is to figure out how to make the best investments on the state highway system for LA and Ventura counties with a budget of anywhere between $500 million to $1 billion a year, finding the deficiencies actionable needs on the existing transportation infrastructure. So I'm glad to be part of this committee, and I learned a lot of what we're doing to make the life better and through these water improvement projects that we do here at Orange County Water District and OC San. So thank you.
Thank you, Director Bilodeau. Dennis?
Yes, here I am. Here I am. So thank you for letting me speak for a moment. So I'm Dennis Bilodeau, and I've been on the board of the Orange County Water District since the year 2000. I think myself, maybe Director Shaver, were here in 2000 when we actually commenced construction of the GWRS initially. So I'm really pleased it's been so successful, and I'm actually amazed that we've had such little hiccups along the way. And my background, I'm a civil engineer for the County of Orange, and I'm actually the county traffic engineer is my current assignment. So thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you. Director Mendez. Linda, are you there? Okay, let's see. If I missed anyone, put your hand up so that Christina can shame me.
Director Jones.
I don't see him on the screen here.
He's coming on.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Brooke Jones. I am very pleased to be an alternate to this wonderful project. I think it's just a fantastic project, and I'm anxious to learn more about it and try to help in any way I can. I was first elected to the Yorba Linda Water District in 2016, so I'm new, got a lot to learn, and you have a lot to teach, so glad to be here.
Thank you. I think the only one was Director Mendoza. Is Director Mendoza available? Okay. That just leaves me. I'm David Schauber. I am really honored to be on this elite group of folks. What can I say? I'm a dinosaur. I'm still roaming around, and I really enjoy working with each and every one of you. I think that, as I said, I want the staff to know that next time we have a meeting, I'm giving you, putting you on notice, you get to introduce all yourself, because I don't want to belabor the evening tonight because we know all your credentials. But I will tell you, be very careful about missing a day of work, because if you know, our board of directors could actually step in and maybe help you out with what you're doing, especially with the experience that they have. That being said, I want to wish you all a wonderful evening. Thank you again for all that you do, especially our staff, and I'm looking forward to our next meeting. Thank you all, and good night.
Good night, everyone. Have a safe
meeting. Good night.
Good meeting. Good night.
Good night.